Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest played his college basketball at Gonzaga, won the hearts of America as an underdog, then went to the NBA and proved himself. Now, among other things, Dan Dickow has a podcast going on, and former Trailblazer, NBA player Dan Dickow joining us now. How are you, man?
I'm well, John. Thanks for the introduction. I appreciate that.
What has been the what is the Dickow household like these days?
Right now it's actually pretty quiet. We, you know, with the whole kind of stay-at-home order quarantine, we've done a pretty good job of adhering to that. My daughters ice skate. We live in Spokane, so they have the ability to get out on the ice in very small numbers. So that's one of the very few things that they do. I've been getting out to the golf course late in the afternoon, evening when it dies down with my boys. But other than that, trying to adhere to staying home as best as possible and letting everything just blow by. Hopefully enough people can do that and we can get past this stretch sooner rather than later.
I'm not convinced that the NBA's bubble in Orlando can – I'm not convinced that can be pulled off cleanly. I just don't know. Can you control that? I'm going to watch and see if they can do it. What if you were playing, would you feel comfortable going there, or what concerns might you have?
I would be comfortable going and playing if I were still in that position. And I think one of the reasons why is, you know, you're talking about professional athletes being at the peak of physical condition and able to fight off an infection. Now I understand there's some people that will get it worse than others, but at the same time, I think that, you know, if I were in that situation, I would want to play. I know those guys, if they were anything like me, that's what they love to do, and they're waiting to get back at it, and I guarantee you there are guys that have not been adhering to strict protocols and mandates of staying at home and staying social distancing, and they're getting their workouts in and they're doing this and that and the other. So, you know, I can only imagine it would be tough to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I think the hardest thing for guys to make the decision to go or not to go would be the amount of time away from their families. Because, yeah, you mentioned the bubble. You know, there. I mean, 99% of everything is going to be controlled. But the biggest thing that's going to be a frustration piece, I'm sure, for a lot of guys is not being around their families if they choose not to bring them with.
Dan Dickow is with us. What happens when you split a season like that? You know, from a competition standpoint, what should we expect? Because you've lost momentum.
Yeah, you have lost momentum, but at the same time, I mean, the majority of the rosters are going to be the exact same as what they were on March 15th, 16th, whenever everything shut down. You know, some guys have opted out, and some guys are being signed as free agents. I don't think any of those guys that are signing as free agents are going to make or break a team winning or losing a championship. I mean, I think the biggest thing that you're going to have to look out for would be any somewhat major injuries that occur, because my understanding is there's going to be kind of an abbreviated training camp, and if guys haven't been, you know, staying in as good a shape as possible, and in this NBA playing shape, game shape, it's not just, you know, go down to your local rec and play shape. There's a big difference. And so, you know, ramping up, you know, some guys aren't ready and they ramp up too soon, you can be put at risk. So I think that's something to look out for. But at the same time, everybody's going to have to go through it. I think teams, coaches, athletic staff, training staff, they're going to be very, very mindful of limiting guys' output early and kind of, you know, having specific steps that they feel comfortable with getting back to 100%.
Dan Dickow is our guest, former NBA player. You've got a podcast that you're doing. You're interviewing people on it. How do you feel about that? Why did you start a podcast?
Well, you and I, John, we've talked about the work that I've done with Scorebook Live and the sports media technology company over the last couple of years. We've kind of continued to grow. So I've been a part of a Washington high school podcast for a little over a year now with two of our journalists. And when the quarantine started, you know, as many companies, we were trying to figure out, hey, how do we stay relevant? How do we grow? What opportunities do we have? What can we do in this time? And so, you know, I thought it would be a good time for me to have a daily podcast geared towards Washington high school sports. And in saying that, it could be a former player, coach, somebody that is affiliated with the state of Washington in some way or other. And so for about 6-7 weeks, I released a daily interview, and we had some great guests, Jamal Crawford, Mark Hendrickson, who was one of only 13 guys to play Major League Baseball and NBA basketball. We had college coaches, high school coaches. We had a lot of different guys come on, be a part of the show. And it caught the attention of a national podcast network called Believe. And they started talking to myself as well as Scorebook Live and asking about, hey, what are the chances of bringing the podcast over? And so we did that. We're going to start releasing this week on the Believe Podcast Network. And we're going to, a lot of the questions or focus will be similar for coaches and players, you know, experiences, mentorship, your path, your journey, things you had to overcome. Some things maybe if you're a coach that you really value in the evaluation and the recruiting process. You know, so it's not going to be your typical interview about, hey, you had a great game last night. What do you think? You know, we're trying to ask a few more questions and kind of get in and share some experiences and some advice and some nuggets for people that listen to the podcast. And with the first few episodes that we've got recorded, we're pretty excited. I mean, Caron Butler is going to be, I think, the first one we release later this week. Eric Revenoe, who, John, I'm sure you know and remember well from his time at University of Portland, is a guest that we've already recorded. I recorded an interview with Bryce Drew this morning, who hit one of the biggest shots in the last 25 years in the NCAA tournament. So it's something that, you know, just kind of came about after we got going during the quarantine. And I've had a really fun time kind of expanding this within what we do with Scorebook Live.
Now, it's a little different because, you know, as an athlete, you weren't the person doing the interviewing. Did you like doing interviews over the years? You're good at it.
You know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, when you're young and you're in high school, you think it would be cool to be a part of the post-game NCAA tournament platform where you're up on the back. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be in the NCAA tournament a few times and get to go back in that, and you kind of enjoy it. You know, you got your buddies, your teammates up there, and it's kind of one of those things. You see who can have the most sarcastic comment or the comment that kind of gets the most chuckles. So yeah, you enjoy it at that time. When you get to the NBA, it really kind of depends on what role or the face that you have in the organization. You know, I was never out front being a guy like a Brandon Roy or now a Damian Lillard, where everybody would want to come, you know, ask my opinion on different things. It was, once I got to the NBA, it was more of a, hey, I happen to have a really good game. Someone's going to come, you know, ask me what small part I had to play in that game that night. Or there might be a small kind of human interest story that maybe I fit into. And I was okay with that, you know. And I understood it because that's kind of where I fell in line with different teams and organizations with the trajectory of my career. Well, on the flip side, as I've gotten done and I gotten into the broadcasting side of things, you know, there's a natural progression to your career. Like, hey, I like this. I want to keep doing this. I think I've got a future in this. How do I get better? And so I really think that, you know, over the last 3-4 months with doing all these quarantine series interviews that have now transitioned into this new podcast that we're calling the ISO, I hope and I think it's going to allow me to become a better broadcaster when the college basketball season resumes, and who knows what opportunities it leads to for me.
I'll tell you this, like everybody gets the same questions. I think it's part of what drives professional athletes crazy is you get the same questions over and over and over again in interview settings. So what I always try to do is just ask things that I'm curious about that are outside of sports that maybe we can learn something from. Like, you know, with you growing up, basketball became such a huge part of your life from Gonzaga on, even high school probably, and even now. What did you miss out on over the years that you look back and you go, okay, I had a great career. I would not trade it for anything. But what did you miss out on?
You know, that's a really good question. And that's a difficult one because, you know, I was never the kid who wanted to play video games. I was never the kid who, you know, wanted to go out and party with my friends in high school. That wasn't me. If you wanted to find me on a Friday or Saturday night in high school, I was at Club Green Meadows in Vancouver, Washington. That's just where I was, and that's what I wanted to be. Even in college, you know, yeah, I had college teammates that, you know, they like to go out and do the typical things of a college student, and I would do that occasionally. I would never do it to where it would affect a practice or a game that was coming up. But I wanted to be in the gym, so I would be in the gym late at night. I would watch games late at night. I would do those things that I felt were going to put me in a position to have success. In aligning me with what I have always envisioned of doing when I was a little kid. And that was playing in the NBA, or that was playing in college. And so I was really kind of one-track minded. You know, my wife and I, you know, we try to make sure our kids are honestly a little more well-rounded than I was. You know, it kind of comes back and bites me a little bit when there's a home project that, you know, had I paid closer attention as a kid, I would have been able to fix it a little bit quicker or a little bit better or not have to call, you know, a handyman or somebody to fix something here and there. I've gotten better as years have gone by. But, you know, at the same time, I've always kind of looked at it as, you know, I sacrificed a few things because I wanted to do that. And that was my passion. That was my goal. Those are my dreams. And I think each kid – as they grow up, and I say this to kids that come to my basketball academy workouts all the time, find your passion, find what you love to do, work at it, and work at it with all your heart, and don't let anybody talk you out of your goal and your dream, because trust me, I had plenty of people along the way try to talk me out of it. Oh, you're never going to make it to the NBA. Oh, you're never going to play in college. You're this, you're that, you're the other. You're never going to know unless you try, and I tell you what, the worst thing I think that can happen is not trying. And that's one thing we try to instill in our kids. And, you know, the kids are always going to kind of adhere to their own goals and dreams at their own point in time. You just hope that it's not too late when they figure out what it is that they want to do.
Dan Dickow is with us. Was there a sport maybe that you would have played more of? Is there another sport in your life that, you know, do you look at baseball or football and go, hey, you know, I wonder what would have happened if you'd played quarterback or something?
You know, I never would have played football. My parents wouldn't have let me. I was only small. And I played plenty of backyard football with my neighbors, and I was good. But I didn't want to play at the next, you know, the Pop Warner or the high school level. I just didn't. I played high school golf for 2 years, and I, you know, that was enough for me. I play enough now to be okay. Would I like to be better? Everybody would, because then you can win some more money off your buddies at the golf course. But, you know, I think baseball is the one sport that, you know, part of me wishes, like, hey, you know what, I wish I would have, you know, played another year or two. But it comes down to what you love and what your passion is. I played for Glenwood Little League, and this was back before all these travel teams and all the different sports, you know. But I made All-Stars as an 11-year-old for the 11-12s. And then as a 12-year-old, I made the All-Star team again. And this was the first
year I was signed up to go to an overnight basketball camp. This was the Pro Classic camp down in Salem. Gordy James ran it at Willamette University, and so I was very excited. Like, finally old enough, I'm going to basketball camp. I get selected to All-Stars, and coach sends out the practice schedule. Like, shoot, I'm going to miss some practices. So I call the coach up, and I'm 12, and this is hard for a 12-year-old to do. Call the coach up and say, hey, coach, I don't know what to do. I'm going to be gone for a couple of these practices because I'm at a basketball camp that I've been really looking forward to going. And I'll never forget, the coach said on the phone, well, I don't think you're going to play a lot then. I was like, okay, well, you just made my decision really easy for me. So that was the end of my baseball career. I never played again. But I was a pretty good baseball player, and I did enjoy it. The only thing I didn't enjoy was how slow the game was, which is, I think, unfortunately, one thing that's hurting baseball in the eyes of a lot of young kids these days.
I agree with that. Dan Dickow, the ISO podcast, frequent guest on this show, father, husband, and basketball player. Thank you for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care, John. Appreciate connecting, and stay safe down in Portland.
All right, will do. There's Dan Dickow. Check out his podcast called The ISO. I'll promote it on my Twitter when it is out and episodes come. Leave it here. We'll do the Culligan Water Cooler Report in the 2 o'clock hour. My wife will pop in studio. Just saw a video that I tweeted out of Mike Tyson at age 19, sort of working out in the ring. Crazy talent. Mike Tyson, like, scary good. Like literally, as I watch him, even at 19, and if you don't follow me on Twitter, go check it out, at John Canzano BFT. On Twitter. Follow me there. But the bottom line is, I look at this Mike Tyson video and I'm a little scared of him. And I know he's no longer 19 and in the ring, but Judah Newby, I don't know if you can pull that up on your Twitter feed. He's scary. Like, legitimately one of the only professional athletes that I would say at that time, maybe Anderson Silva in a UFC fight. Maybe Usain Bolt on a track, like, scary talent. Like, I'm just saying, so good. Michael Jordan qualifies.
Yeah, really, this guy, he's like ridiculously fat. I can't believe that's a 19-year-old body.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I mean, he's scary today at his age now.
But yeah.
At 19, look out.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.